The key thing about this contribution system is that in the very short run, and the short run is really crucial here, the system allowed for the rapid buildup of really enormous armies. And from the crown's point of view, it allowed for the buildup of enormous armies on the cheap. Just to give you some idea of the numbers involved, Wallenstein had 30,000 men under arms by the summer of 1625. By the end of 1625, the army had swelled to fully 60,000. And by the year 1626, Wallenstein had fully 110,000 men under arms without costing any taxes, at least as far as the Austrian Habsburgs were concerned. This combination of the new Imperial Field Army under Wallenstein and the Army of the Catholic League under Tilly proved to be, at least from a military point of view, truly formidable. In the year 1625, the King of Denmark, Christian IV, had decided to offer his services to the Palatine cause. Now, he was a Protestant, but it should be pointed out that Christian IV was really not disinterested, and nobody was in this conflict. Christian was interested in gaining, hopefully, some territories in northwestern Germany, but unfortunately for him, he picked truly the worst possible moment to intervene in the cause of Frederick of the Palatinate, because Wallenstein's army and Tilly's army together were just enormous, and Christian's effort to intervene in the conflict was ignominiously crushed in 1626. The following year, 1627, saw Wallenstein's enormous army go rampaging into northern Germany and overrun Mecklenburg, Pomerania, and Holstein, and capturing the Baltic ports of Rostock and Wismar. The Duke of Mecklenburg, who had supported Christian IV, was summarily deprived of his title, and the confiscated duchy was given to Wallenstein. A second defeat in 1628 forced Christian IV to swear formally never again to intervene in the internal affairs of the Holy Roman Empire again. This was formalized in a treaty finally signed in 1629. So that you can see by 1628-29, Ferdinand II has really become more powerful than any Holy Roman Emperor had ever been since the Middle Ages. He has critics, but with these forces at his command, he can afford to ignore them. Even more interestingly, for most of the war, Ferdinand II had actually retained the support of almost all of the German princes. As late as 1626, for example, the Duke of Saxony, who was influential and powerful and was often seen as the kind of natural head of the Protestant princes in Germany, had made an interesting set of arguments to his Protestant compeers. He had argued that Christian IV of Denmark was a foreign aggressor and that anyone who supported him in Germany was a traitor. The Duke of Saxony further argued that Ferdinand II, the emperor, was waging a just war against rebels, not a religious war of conquest, that those who worried about Spanish domination in the Holy Roman Empire were paranoid because these fears were exaggerated. Moreover, that all Protestants should follow Luther's injunction to obey the powers that had been established by God, and that the emperor had in any case offered no grounds for resistance. The Duke added that whatever Ferdinand chose to do in Bohemia and Austria was covered by the doctrine of cuius regio, eius religio, the prince can decide the religion of his own territory. And finally, that the army of the Catholic League, the Duke of Saxony argued, should be supported by all Lutherans in a concerted campaign for peace and justice in the empire. It's a striking testimony, it seems to me, of the degree to which, at least up to about 1626, Ferdinand II was able to carry even most Protestant princes with him in his war against Frederick and the rebels. But that was 1626, and shortly thereafter, the unprecedented power held by Ferdinand II in the form of Wallenstein's army began to produce angry complaints, even, and I think this is quite striking, even among the Catholics. By the later 1620s, you see Catholic archbishops grumbling about Wallenstein's army and saying that, you know, until we get rid of this army, there isn't going to be any peace in the empire whatsoever. The emperor then went one step further. On the 28th of March, 1629, he dropped what can only be called a bombshell. In a document known as the Edict of Restitution, Emperor Ferdinand declared that all church lands, secularized since 1552, were to be restored to the Catholic Church, and that except for the German cities, all Protestant sects except for Lutheranism were now to be banned. Ferdinand II would claim, of course, that he was merely seeking to restore the imperial constitution as set out in the Peace of Augsburg of 1555. But these legalisms could not conceal the fact that the Habsburgs were now making unprecedented claims to power. And as shall be seen in our next lecture, this overarching ambition would soon radically undermine the emperor's position.